The revelations about what took place in the locker room of Sayreville, New Jersey High School with the senior members of the football team would assault and, well, legitimately, no other way to state it, rape at least one younger player that we know about so far, has sickened most people, as did some of the reactions by parents who worried more about their kids playing football than the condition of the victim. In this segment, we're going to try to get into the mind of the victim and all this to try to gain an understanding of what they face psychologically, physically, emotionally, every point in between. Here to help us from the New Jersey Coalition for Bullying Awareness and Prevention is Stuart Green. Good morning, Stuart.
Hello. Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Let me give you the website for the coalition. It's njbullying.org, njbullying.org. And Stuart, since this is a topic certainly in your wheelhouse, I mean, we've heard what we thought have been extreme cases, but this thing goes well beyond anything that you can, even a horror novelist could come up with.
Well, the interesting thing is that there actually have been other incidences in the U.S. in which this kind of assault was part of hazing process for teams. From what I have read or have heard about, there may have been as many as six different incidents in other schools and places in which this particular kind of behavior was part of the hazing.
And when, like I said in the introduction, we just know about one victim in Sayreville so far. It's tough to imagine this was a one-and-done type of tradition, quote-unquote, that this football team was practicing.
Well, that's an important point, Chris. This kind of violence is almost never, virtually never, one-and-done. I've been taking phone calls from parents of hurt children for many years now, and in all those years of taking calls every day, I've never gotten one call in which somebody said something bad happened to their kid yesterday in terms of peer violence. And before that, everything was perfect. A typical call would be that things have been happening, hurtful things for months or years. So that's the nature of this kind of violence.
Well, I think that this one victim that we know, that's all we can speak about, and vaguely at that point, because fortunately, at least on a public platform, they're being protected, not as much as, unfortunately, the seven punks who did this are being protected, but that's another discussion for another time. But you think of where this child is right now. They've been violated by people they thought they were, who were their friends. They're in an environment, assuming this individual is still in the school system, I would doubt that, but if they are, they're surrounded by people who they have to think, gee, does Judy know what happened to me? Does Stan know what happened? There's this whole weight upon them. How does an individual, no matter what age, take that on?
Well, two things. One is, first and foremost, of course, it's the situation of the child hurt that matters absolutely the most, and we can talk more about that. But in terms of, you know, the whole sort of punks issue, I think that's the word you use to describe the kids who hurt other kids, I feel bad for them also. And the reason is, this kind of violence really doesn't occur because of bad kids, bad families, or bad communities. In other words, there's not necessarily anything inherently wrong with Sayreville as an entire community, certainly with the families of the kids that hurt other kids necessarily, or even with the kids themselves. There's actually, and I don't know if this will seem surprising or not, but we do have a lot of study of this issue at this point. There's very little relationship between this kind of hurtful behavior and psychological or other problems on the part of the kids who do this. Kids do not do this kind of violence because they're bad kids. They do this kind of violence in response to the culture and climate of the organizations in which the violence takes place. In other words, this is violence that's caused in children by the adults who run the schools and teams and other organizations in which kids find themselves with other kids. So it's really the adults involved that have the primary responsibility for what's happened. I'm not saying that the kids who hurt other kids shouldn't have consequences or shouldn't be helped to sort of reflect on what they did and also experience consequences from the behavior, and they certainly will. That's inevitable. But we tend to over-focus on the individual kids who hurt other kids and don't look enough at what we call the systemic factors involved in the violence. In other words, what is it about that particular organization, whether it's an entire school or a team, that allowed this kind of violence to arise and essentially kept other people who might have spoken up about it, other kids, silent?
So with Stuart Green from the New Jersey Coalition for Bullying Awareness and Prevention, njbullying.org on the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And certainly, Stuart, the coach of the team, has come under a lot of pressure, a lot of questions for the way he ran through absentee supervision, much like an absentee ownership of a business, and allowed something like this to not just spark, where if he was present, he could have put the spark out, but burst into this fire that it did. But it turns out that, according to a couple of days ago, NJ.com has been the leading reporting about their story, he spoke to the team 2 days before the games were canceled and everything was revealed. So he came to know shortly before everyone else did what had been taking place. But he doesn't seem to want to accept any blame for it, at least at this point, much like with the parents. And you mentioned, too, as far as what is instilled in children, is this not as violent on a mass level scale, but certainly in impact, much like how forget his first name, but Lanza, the Newtown school shooter, his mom allowed him to handle guns, to be obsessively compulsive and addicted to violent video games, and we saw how that's permissive parenting turned out.
These most extreme cases of school shootings and even suicides, you know, we have to be careful discussing them in relationship to other kinds of violence. I mean, fortunately, school shootings are still rare. Huge, of course, they deserve huge attention and get it when they occur. Horrible tragedies. But they're not common. And in the case of Newtown, from what we've come to understand, there were significant issues with psychiatric or similar problems. Even parents of kids with special needs, it's hard to judge them. It's very difficult unless you're very lucky. A lot of people are very lucky, but unless you're lucky, It's hard to parent, actually, to do it well. And when you have a child with special needs, it's hard to parent that child. And you can look pretty odd in your behavior, and yet you're not necessarily a bad person. So, you know, we don't really want to heap a lot of blame. That's not to say that, you know, the shooters shouldn't be judged or don't deserve consequences in some way. And, of course, in a lot of cases, the shooters die. They kill themselves, and we're limited in understanding them. And, of course, the victims deserve our main sort of attention and focus. But it really is, if you go looking for an explanation of this kind of peer violence, you go looking for it in the psychopathology of the kids who hurt other kids, you really don't find a good support for that association. I'm not talking about Newtown. Clearly there were major psychiatric issues, and you might be able to argue that even in Columbine case and some other cases. But most of the time with bullying, and hazing is a form of bullying, you're not going to find your real ultimate explanation in the psychopathology of the kids who hurt other kids. These are not little Hannibal Lecters, you know, running around. Violence occurs in schools and teams and organizations for the most part because of the way the adults who run those places, who have the job of running those places, who get paid often a lot to run those places and organizations. It's the way they run the organizations that really gives rise to the violence. And not supervising a locker room,
exactly,
by the way, or not even more deeply, not making clear to kids that the way we do things here is positive, supportive relationships and not violence. That's really the cause.
Having our time with Stuart Green from the New Jersey Coalition for Bullying Awareness and Prevention here on Issues and Ideas. So For the victim that we know of, and again, I'm unfortunately safely assuming there are many others who have yet to come forward. Hopefully, this one will lead to the others to start a walk to recovery. What is that walk for recovery for them? Is recovery a possibility, or do you just hope as a parent that you can help your child put as many fragments and pieces back together after you know that you drop the dish and it bursts into a thousand pieces on the floor?
Well, two things. Again, on one level, we know that being hurt in whatever way as a child, in research, we talk about adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, adverse childhood experiences. But we do know that being hurt in any way as a child often has, commonly has, pretty profound and lasting effects. You see in children who are bullied as children, higher rates as adults of anxiety, depression, other problems. So we know that that's true, and certainly when sexual assault occurs, childhood sexual abuse, sexual assault at any age, it has some deep effects and lasting effects. There's real harm that gets done. On the other hand, we also know that when people who have been hurt get good attention, good support, healing processes, therapies in some cases, but mainly this good support of other people, and can be open about what's occurred, that people can heal, so and go on to function well. And of course, some people who experience great harm take that pain and go on to really use it to sort of help others. Right? I mean, the most famous example, I guess, in modern society is Candy Leitner, who lost her daughter, whose daughter was killed by a drunk driver, and went on to, you know, found a social movement that's deeply affected the whole society and made life safer and saved a lot of kids.
And we actually have a young girl here in Sussex County who was bullied, not to this degree, mm-hmm. obviously, in school, mm-hmm. and she went out and went off and formed Students Against Being Bullied, and mm-hmm. she now travels the country giving seminars to other schools about setting up anti-bullying efforts.
Sure, that's a way of healing. You know, sometimes those efforts come at a cost. If I'm recalling right, Candy Leitner wrote an autobiography, that she's the founder of Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, in which I believe, I read it quite a while back, but talked about the personal cost to her of putting her energies into that movement. It really, in some way, she felt interfered with the healing that needed to take place or the grieving she needed to do. So these are complicated sorts of issues, but people do heal, but at the same time, they're dealing with real lasting harm that they've got to cope with and hopefully in some way overcome.
Well, here's hoping that as most people are looking for justice to be served to the seven who perpetrated this mm-hmm. horror on these victims, that the healing comes faster and first mm-hmm. and stronger, and that recovery and life lessons, and maybe even any of these victims can provide inspiration for peers and help mm-hmm. peers come forward mm-hmm. and discuss what they've been facing in silence and suffering, and maybe feeling mm-hmm. like it's only them and no one else that happens, which is a common element of being abused and bullied as well. Learn mm-hmm. more about this issue, the work of the New Jersey Coalition for Bullying Awareness and Prevention. Their website is njbullying.org. And we've been joined by their founder, Stuart Green. Stuart, thanks so much for the insight you've provided on this terribly sad, painful issue. A lot of people don't like to talk about it, but reality isn't always happy, and this is one of those times. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much, Chris. I appreciate it.